Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 26, and unlike our topic for today, we are, well, maybe we are actually a train wreck. Who knows? Depends on where you go. I mean, I feel like a train wreck right now. Could be the smoke in the air, could be the allergies going off.
I was going to say, are you sick now? Because I'm finally better.
No, we have a bunch of, we're like on the edge of all the Canadian fire smoke, so... Like yesterday, we had an air quality warning, and it was really weird when the air is filled with smoke. And like, you have this red overcast thing going on. The sun looks all blurred out, and I saw pictures from people flying into Chicago because Chicago actually was worse than us due to how the jet stream goes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the pictures out of like Chicago are ridiculously crazy.
Did you go outside and take photos?
No. I went outside, but I didn't take pictures. I was just like, I didn't even know where to begin with that. It was so odd. So we're on the very edge of it. We still have an air quality warning for another like 24 to 48 hours. So don't know.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's a fantastic time.
Now, because it is Canadian fire smoke, is it apologizing as it's going through?
Yes, as it goes through. I'm sorry, eh?
Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah. It's sad, though. I mean, that much fire creates that much smoke. All yeah. That land burning, and we're complaining about smoke. Some of us are.
Well, I remember when, I was in college back in the late 90s. So I went to college in Waco, which is not North Texas. It's Central Texas. And there was fires going on in Mexico. And Houston had it worse because Houston's a little further south. But I mean, even as far north as Waco, we had this constant haze for 6 months.
Oh. Yeah, I had a friend. she's Puerto Rican, and she said that about this time every year in the summer in Puerto Rico, due to the jet stream, they would actually have sand blowing in from the Sahara Desert.
Okay, that's crazy.
I was like, that is insane. I can't even imagine that. Where's the sand coming from?
It's just raining from the sky.
Just coming down.
Today's guess I'll always have beaches in Puerto Rico then.
Very much.
It's crazy.
Weather. It's amazing.
Yep.
It is.
So maybe the weather is a train wreck right now, but we've had some train wrecks in gaming.
Well, one of them is definitely a big train wreck. The other one is, I don't even know what they're doing.
It's like they're train wrecks because you just can't look away, and it's so entertaining, and they just make it worse.
Oh, God.
So yeah. The first big one has been Batman Arkham Knight. The PC copy apparently is defunct. It is awful. I don't remember all the problems with it. I know there was frame rate drops. Oh, it flat out won't work with, I think it's NVIDIA and AMD.
Well, those are the two car, but the higher end ones.
Yeah, which is funny because people bought the higher end ones to play Batman Arkham Knight, and now it won't work. Like, people who actually got a copy with Batman Arkham Knight with their new AMD does not work. And so people have posted that you have to go into the, I think it's the .ini files to tweak something, and then to break the, because it's something to do with the frames per second that's locked is what's affecting it. So they're saying if you go into the .ini files and you can break that, then it helps. And people are like, well, that doesn't even work because of this, 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 and this. And it's to the point that Warner Brothers was like, oh, crap. So they pulled it from Steam.
Yep. That happened like within 2 days, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, it came out, and I remember within a couple hours, I already started seeing tweets and Facebook, because like if you follow PC Gamer on Facebook or something like that, just people like, thank God Steam just had their whole refund policy because I just got my refund for Batman. It only took a couple hours, and people were getting refunds, and it was just like, oh, wow. And the funny thing about it is, I watched, there were two streamers that were streaming Batman on PC, and they had no issues. In fact, one of them's still doing it. He's still playing Batman. Every time I jump on, he never has issues. So it's so random, but like
Yeah.
apparently a lot, it's more random in the aspect that a lot more people have problems, and there are very few people that don't.
Right. And again, like they're saying, like if you have like an NVIDIA or an AMD, just don't even try. But just, I don't know, with me, I'm just, my first response is, where's your PC master race now? It's amazing. We just put the disk in and PS4 and
PC Master Race will then come back at you saying, well, this is just a shitty console port and it should have, this is why we need
I
PC
totally
people.
agree. And Warner Brothers, and Rocksteady are both like, it's not us. Like, we ported this out to someone else to do. I'm like, well, okay, then that is you because you shouldn't have done that. And now I just saw a report coming out now that I'm going to write about for Action Trip that Warner Brothers knew the Arkham Knight PC was a mess for months. So there was probably just like, PC people, they can just, mod it or whatever and they can fix it, whatever. No.
Yeah, I saw a story yesterday saying that a patch for this is, for the PC version is going to take a long time
Yeah.
from them, and I'm just I mean, if you think about all the crap that's happened on PC for PC ports now, you've got Batman, MKX was a terrible port as well.
Which is also Warner Brothers
Yep.
publication.
So I mean, PC's had some pretty rough times as far as ports go. I mean, they still got, let's face it, PC still has a huge amount of games. And I mean, indie, Steam, there's so you can't play one or two games. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
It's just, to me, it's just funny that that happens. I know it's because it's a bad port, because, well, the PC Master Race drives me crazy. With them saying that, just because they prefer on PC, that's cool. You prefer that, that's fine. But it doesn't make me a lesser gamer, just because I prefer having a controller and using a console, and because I don't really feel like getting in there and working on the .ini files and installing DLLs and uninstalling DirectX 11. No, I just like I'm lazy and I just don't care to do that stuff and I just want to pop in my disk and go. And so it's just kind of funny when you got the high and mighty PC people, they can't play something. And even with all their little hacks or whatever, it's like, seriously, like you're not a master race. Like we are all gamers, we're all in this together. Sometimes the ports to console are crappy. Sometimes ones a PC are crappy. It's just what's really funny about this though is, I don't know, I guess I was like seeing master racers get butt hurt because they deserve it because they're just kind of jerks, just like any master racer. And just all the backpedaling, the pointing fingers and at Warner Brother, because this is not the first time that they've had PC problems. With their ports, and they're not the only big publisher to have problems. I mean, there was that issue
Ubisoft
with that.
constantly has
Oh,
problems.
Ubisoft does. That's why I was so surprised that they said that Syndicate is going to have a day one PC launch for Assassin's Creed, because that's always been the worst. And I think it's because after talking to Ubisoft at E3, that they have really scaled down the scope of Syndicate. So it's still open world, but it's not as ambitious, I guess. And they've taken out the co-op, they've taken out multiplayer, and they've really just really finally compacted in. So I think because of that, they're actually going to have a decent PC creation because they have compacted down the scope. And they've really put in a lot of money into their Uplay
Yeah.
stuff. So, I think that they're willing to work with that. But Street Fighter 5 is supposed to be PC and PS4. I don't know if I have very much hope in
Well, the PC
that.
versions have always the PC version of Ultra Street Fighter 4 is pretty solid, actually. Even when that
Okay.
came out, it was really solid, but it was to me, I when I bought it, it was basically a patch that kind of came through, so I think it was Capcom naming, so probably Super Ultra Street Fighter 4 beforehand, and then it can't, but then Ultra Street Fighter 4 on PS4, I mean, look at the train wreck that was,
Right.
you know
Yeah.
and
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was so bad that, you know, because
They had to pull it from their own tournament.
They had to go back to the Ultra Street Fighter 4 on. I think they're going back to Xbox 360 is where they're going,
Yeah.
if I remember correctly. Usually Street
Yes.
Fighter is an Xbox game that they play, but they've been doing a lot more PS4 games or PS4 stuff in placed actually just Sony systems in recent fighting game tournaments. So yeah,
And one thing I will say about E3 is that I only had an Xbox One controller in my hands once. Like everywhere else, it was, and that was for Mirror's Edge Catalyst. For everything else, even Star Wars Battlefront, it was PS4.
yeah, well, PS4 has a higher install base at this current point, apparently. So,
And it's also actually easier because, you know, anytime you play something at E3 or any of the shows, they don't have the console there. It is all off because you're playing off of their builds, off of the PC, and the PS4 controller is easier to work with than the Xbox One. I don't even know if you can even really. I think they now have a patch that you can now use the Xbox One controller with PC, which is just kind of funny. But yeah, but not only that, but like a lot of developers say that it's just honestly easier to develop with the PS4 in mind and then transition that over to the Xbox. So,
which is funny because Sony's always been the one that's always been the hardest to develop for, so.
right? It's actually really amazing how much has switched around, like as you learned with your Xbox One, with all the downloading was. That's been really interesting. But there's another train wreck going on that I totally admit I have been like I need popcorn. I have been laughing at this so hard, and it's even funnier in talking to my hardcore Destiny friends that defend some of this. Like you can't defend this man. You just can't. And that is what's going on with Destiny. Now, granted, one thing did get fixed, and the big thing that got fixed is that there's a huge expansion coming out for Destiny. What is it, the Dead King or the Taken King?
The
So many kings. So the Taken King is coming out this fall, I believe.
in September.
And they announced this collector's edition, which has a whole bunch of, you know, physical stuff, as collector's editions typically do, and a whole bunch of in-game stuff that people, and apparently, I haven't really played Destiny, so I can't attribute to this, but apparently people really want this in-game stuff. Like at E3, I was having dinner with a bunch of friends, and I mentioned that I have the Destiny collector's edition that I haven't opened. And this guy was immediately like, "So you still have all those collector's edition codes?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Can I have them?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know." He goes, "I'll pay you $50." Like, he was gonna pay me $50 for these codes. And the answer is, no, I did not sell them to him because I already promised the collector's edition to Blake. So, of course, I told this to Blake and he's like, "I'll pay you $50." I'm like, "Dude, I already told you I would give it to you. It's okay. You'll have to pay me. I could use the money, but seriously, I can't believe Destiny players would pay that much money for those codes." But so there's a lot of that going on. They really want it. But the problem is with the collector's edition, it costs,
$80.
I think it's a grand total of $80 because it includes the original game, which would basically force people who already have Destiny to buy the game again in order to get all the collector's edition stuff. Now, they can get the regular copy, which is just, I think, the digital download, which I think is 40, which to me is still ludicrous for an expansion. That's still a lot of money for an expansion. So they can get that, but they can't get the extra collector's edition goodies. And there was an interview with one of the lead designers who really came off as an asshat. And I say asshat because when he came out later and said he read the interview, he was like, "Oh my God, whoever said that was an asshat, and the asshat was me." So at least like he admitted it. But basically what he said was he's like, "But this is a good value for everybody. It's all about value." And you know, getting the game is still part of a good value. And he even said, "If I showed you the emotes you will get, you'd throw money at the screen."
There's so much.
I'm like, emotes? Like, okay, first of all, I'm not a Destiny player. What exactly is an
Yeah.
emote
So,
like?
like, you can point at people, you can dance, you can sit, and you can wave. And people, there's been streamers that are like, you know, what'd be great is to have new dance moves because everybody dances the same way. And it's like the only way to cut. So, Destiny is so locked into how your character, you know, your avatar is. There's not a whole lot of customization other than your gear. But I mean, by the time you reach end game and you're kind of raiding this stuff, you're kind of walking around looking almost like everybody else. I mean, everybody's running around with their yeller horns or their, you know, last words and all that. So this would allow people to at least start customizing it, kind of like your ghost. So you have that collector's edition, which means you have a red ghost. And a lot of people want that because it's just a little bit more ways of customizing your character. So,
So he was saying that new dance moves is a reason for people to be throwing money at the screen.
well, there's also rumor that the Taken King is also going to bring in microtransactions. And this is all hubbub and it's just kind of rumor at this point. It hasn't been confirmed, but
No.
I would be okay if they're bringing in microtransactions and they're doing it for the cosmetic stuff. I'd be okay with that
Like
because
emotes, the colors, emblems.
stuff that just doesn't change the basic gameplay, it just allows you to, it's like League of Legends, let's face it, you're dressing up your doll.
Okay,
So
so what if you had to pay for certain engrams?
it's fine because you still get, or you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have engrams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if you could? Wouldn't that
Right.
affect?
Yes, that would pretty much kind of start ruining what Destiny is built on. That's why, you know, some people that really know the game a lot more and know the developers are like, yeah, if they brought in microtransactions, it's going to be for cosmetic shit. Now, if they were to bring in stuff like you can dress up your gun, kind of like CSGO, you know, that might be, it's another way to just dress up your doll a little bit more. So we start treading fine lines when we start talking microtransactions. But as long as they keep it to cosmetics, I'm fine with microtransactions coming in. As soon as you start having people pay for items, that's where you're going to start having problems because it's that will ruin a lot of what Destiny has been, which is once you get to the end game, you start grinding out for gear and weapons and all that other stuff. And as soon as you give people a way to just pay for it, yeah, it makes the company money, but it's also going to kind of ruin what Destiny is. If the whole point of what Destiny is at that point. So,
I agree.
and as far as the collector's edition, you know, I want the physical stuff, right? I saw that. I saw the book with the strange coin in it. I would like to. They came out later and said, look, if you already own Destiny, you already own
Yes.
both expansions and you pre-order it, you're going to get the virtual stuff. So, like, you get
Yes, they. But that was something they went back on when he admitted, he's like, okay, I sounded like an ass hat. Let's rediscuss this. But
So
if you want the physical stuff.
you have to, and that's the part where I was like, I already own the game. I already own both expansions. I don't really, for me, that does mean nothing. And I'm not going to get, I don't know anybody else. I'm just going to be like, hey, I got Destiny and two expansions. Here you go. So I don't, it's the collector's edition is a great way to get new people in because in order to play the Taken King, you have to have
Right,
obviously
right.
Destiny, but you also have to have both expansions before you can even do the Taken King. So, and I'm guessing it's because they're making story elements that go between the two. So you have to have those areas that you can go into to actually do the storylines because it's essentially you're doing Crota, which is the Dark Below. So you have to have all that Crota stuff, but we just opened up the reef with the queen. So I'm guessing that we're going to deal, it's going to be going back and forth. So it makes sense that you have to have, you know, all three of these in order to play this next one. At the same point, I really wish that they would have just come out with a collector's edition that was just the Taken King and the physical stuff that they have with the other one. So that way you kind of incorporate, you get both sets of people. Like the new people that are like, oh, I really kind of, this sounds really cool. I want to try it out now. I can get all of these for $80. Well, that's a hell of a deal. And then you got the rest of us that already been playing it and own it. And, you know, now we can be like, oh, all right, for, you know, 50, $60, whatever. Okay, now I can have this and that's fine.
You know, because like if I hadn't already agreed to trade, like my collector's edition of Destiny with Blake for his original copy, and I did take out of it my codes for the expansion packs because I know he already has them. If I didn't already have that, I would tell you, I'll split it with you, like, you know, to get the original, and then you can get all the physical stuff because that stuff means more to you. But you know, that's
And there's also things.
maybe Ross will split it with you, but I doubt it.
No, I doubt that. But there's other things like, so if you have Destiny and you have both expansions and you do it before the Taken King comes out, you basically become like a year one ambassador, and that's where you're going to get some other stuff too. So, I mean, people that have been playing it already are going to get stuff that new players aren't going to be able to have. And I forget what it is. It's a couple things. It's like a dance. I think it's a ghost, or the flying motorcycle, which the sparrow. And I saw the sparrow. I mean, it's like a matte black. So I was like, okay, whatever. But I think you get like a ghost and an emote for each of your character, like a character specific, a class specific emote. So you get three of those: the sparrow and a ghost. Just for being like, hey, thanks for buying all our shit along the way. But yeah, the people are still bitching about this, and I'm pretty sure they're going to bitch about it all the way up until the Taken King comes out.
What they should be bitching about, which is where my friends were defending this, is the Red Bull quest.
Oh yeah, so this actually works two different ways. Right now, you have to go to a 7-Eleven, which I don't even know where a fucking 7-Eleven is in Iowa, to buy a Red Bull, and then you get a code, and then it gives you like
It's a
XP
special Red
bonuses.
Bull. It's a special Destiny Red Bull.
And you get like an XP bonus, and there was something else. And like, this is exclusive to 7-Eleven for I think the for July, and then in August it opens up, and then you can find Red Bull cans in like your local grocery store or whatever. It was just like, really? Really, this is the I can't def I mean, all you have to do is buy one Red Bull, right? That's all you have to do. You buy one Red Bull, you get the fucking code, and away you go. At the same point, I'm like, really, this is the thing that we're going to start doing now? Come on. We saw how well that worked with the whole Mountain Dew and Doritos thing in Halo, and that, and what a fucking meme farm that became. But
And all that was just sponsoring Jeff Keighley. That's all that was. They didn't make you go buy Mountain Dew or Doritos. You know?
It just it became a meme farm. This is just whatever, I guess.
Although Dying Light's response to that was just beautiful.
Yeah, the glass of water.
Glass of water.
I don't drink Red Bull. I don't even know that I want to spend the two what the fuck is a can of Red Bull,
I
like
don't
two or
know.
$3 now, something like that. I don't know,
Because like
whatever it
I talked
costs.
to Blake about it, and he's like, "Well, I do drink Red Bull, so it's not that big of a deal for me." I was like, "Okay, well then that I understand." He goes, "But if I didn't drink Red Bull, I'd still go buy one." I was like, "Well, then you're a sheep. You are part of the problem."
Yeah, it's not, it's just like an XP boost or something like that, if I remember correctly. And then
I think it's a separate in-game thing as well, not just a XP boost. I think it's like gear.
well, welcome to microtransactions. Here's the opening, people. Here's the opening. Microtransaction hell. Next, you're gonna have to go buy a bottle of vodka, drink it all, get the code at the bottom. I haven't really wrap my head around the whole Red Bull thing yet, because I'm just like, really? If you look at it, it's okay, probably $2 or $3. Yes, it's only $2 or $3. You don't even have to drink the fucking Red Bull. You just buy the goddamn thing, get the code, and put it in, and you're done, right? So $2 or $3. At the same point, it's $2 or $3 that you're making people pay to either drink the
I
shitty
mean,
ass Red Bull drink and just, ugh.
well, you could always get your Red Bull and put vodka in it and, you know, drink what the 20-year-olds drink. Drink what your neighbors drink, man.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, they drink Bud Light. Their cans are always in my driveway.
Like I could understand, like again, like the microtransactions, like the whole like the cosmetic ones, don't bother me. They never have. because that's all optional, because that's it's cosmetic. And if this Red Bull thing was a cosmetic thing, like, oh, you might get this customization for your weapon or for your gear or something, I understand. But the fact that you actually get this XP boost, and I think a couple of in-game items, if I remember the story correctly, I mean, that's kind of shady.
Let's look this up. You know what? We have Google right here.
We have Mr. Googles.
Red Bull Quest. Apparently not gonna load. Okay, so that didn't work.
Here we go. Quest Red Bull. Let's see. Level up your game. Bonus XP, an epic new quest. Oh, there is a quest for the Red. There is a Red Bull quest that only unlocks, like the part of the Taken King. So you get the XP bonus and an extra mission. So that's a serious in-game content. Now I'm gonna laugh if that in-game mission is to hunt down a Red Bull. That's kind of awesome.
That would be funny. That'd be funny. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Wow, a 50% experience gain.
Which, okay,
That's pretty good.
and I can't say that I would actually pay for an XP gain if I was like leveling up a secondary or third character, because you just want to plow through that shit and get it done. I mean, that part of it, that's the point where I'm like, okay, I'll pay for an XP boost just so I don't have to grind out all this bullshit anymore. Just fucking get me to my level 20 and be done with it. It's one thing that I've always wanted in like all MMOs is that if you have a character that you've already got maxed out and you just want to pay to have, instead of having to go through that whole process all over again, I get that it's to learn your character. But at a point, I mean, at a point, players already know how characters are going to work. They know what they want. Just give people a way to just, if I can get their characters to max level so they don't have to go through all that shit again over and over and over and over. So, I don't know. Yeah, the Red Bull thing kind of caught me by surprise. I was like, come on. This is stupid. But whatever. It's out of my hands. Not like I can do anything about it, so.
It's really funny about the whole thing. It's like, and everyone acts like this is so unusual, and it's like, no, Activision's been doing this with Call of Duty for a long time because they know people will do it.
Yeah.
They know people will pay for it.
Look at Blake.
Yeah. And of course, he's pointed this finger at Activision. He's like, this is totally Activision's fault. This is not what Bungie would do. I'm like, Bungie doesn't have to do that. I think honestly what this is Bungie's caught up and striking gold twice. I mean, it's not very often that you come up with, they struck gold once with Halo, and now they've struck it again with Destiny, and I think they've kind of gotten some big heads over it because people do throw money at the screen. People, I mean, you can blame Activision all you want, but people are throwing money at it like players have done with Call of Duty all these years. So, I mean, you can't really blame them for being kind of caught up in it and like, oh, well, then let's see what else they'll pay money to do. Like, what will they do next?
But the other thing that I try to keep in mind is that Destiny has like a 10-year plan cycle. So the Taken King is like Destiny 1.5. So supposedly it's a substantial amount of content, which is why the $40, I'm still kind of like, okay, well, it depends on, because I've paid $40 for expansions before. So, depending on which content is there. So this is supposed to be Destiny 1.5, and then we get Destiny 2 next year. So if we're already seeing the whole Red Bull tie-in go by this, what's going to stop them from going, hey, let's do some Doritos next. Oh, hey, let's make you go buy some Häagen-Dazs ice cream. And then you actually have to eat the Häagen-Dazs ice cream to get the code at the bottom of the container. And we're not going to do the nice little small ones. Fuck that. No, we're going to make you spend like the $12 for the not next size up,
Or you have to get a large pizza from Pizza Hut, and it's like,
Yeah.
and you only get it upon delivery.
Because it's printed on the bottom of your receipt.
And then you have
So,
to go submit that online.
yeah. After you take a survey
Right.
and fill out for their newsletter, because every website now has those fucking pop-up things now that's like, sign up for a newsletter. Whatever. Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll see how this all plays out. It'd be nice to see another collector's edition come out just for those people that just want to buy the fucking Taken King and Call of Duty. I already know a bunch of people that are buying damn collector's edition because, what, let's face it, they're addicts. So, and I'm sure they'll happily just give away the codes or whatever, but you know, the game and the two expansions as it is. So, yay, yay, fucking train wrecks and bad.
Yeah, but $80 is a lot of money to pay for for just an expansion and physical stuff when you already own the game.
That, and that's why I haven't done it yet, because it's just like I really want that stuff, but at the same point, I'm not gonna, to me, that's not $80 worth of stuff.
And this is from someone who's pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition for a series I've never even played, but I just really want the stuff. I have problems. I admit this, and even I'm saying I wouldn't pay $80 for this. So,
Yay, fun times. So, Carrie, on to better, brighter, happier things. What have you been playing?
Well, let me get the not so good thing out of the way first, since we're already talking about kerfuffles. So, like I've been saying last week, I'm trying to, play my DS games instead of always going to Mortal Kombat card game, even though it is so much fun. I unlocked a Kitana this week. It made me so happy. Yay! I almost have one of my Sonya Blade Silver card totally maxed out, which is kind of awesome. Kind of going through the tower. She almost does one punch hit. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, so I'm playing some Bravely Default, and as I said in my Monday gaming diary, and Chris knows this, I have a special mutant power when it comes to video games, and it's that I am able to avoid any and all spoilers of any game. Doesn't matter if I'm playing it or not. I am totally able to be oblivious to everything. It's a gift, and it can be a curse. So I did not know this one thing about Bravely Default. So I get to break. So I'm playing Bravely Default. I finally get all four crystals. Seriously, Square Enix, you and the crystals. Get all four crystals. I'm like, okay, I know there's gonna be more to this. Like, this can't be the end. So I've put in 36 hours into the game, get all those four crystals, and then we get sent back in time, and I have to go do it again. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I tweet about this. I know I'm severely late to the party on this, but I have to do it like twice. This is ridiculous. And I get, oh, if only you had to do it just twice. I'm like, what do you mean? So I go look up at it Game Facts, and you have to do it three more times.
So it
So you
makes
have
it
to go
kind of.
back and get all four crystals, a grand total of four times. Now, during that four times, you don't have to do all the side quests over again. There's a lot of optional boss fights that you can do if you just want to level grind, or you just want to have your ass handed to you for no particular reason. But you can just go straight to the crystals because you already have everything in your possession and just do those boss fights over again. I'm thinking no.
Is there, does the story even tell, give you a reason why you're going back in
I'm
time to do this
sure
over
it
and over?
does, later, but and I am curious about this one character, his backstory, because this big like cliffhanger happened right before I went back in time. I'm curious about solving that puzzle, but am I that curious to replay these levels like three more times? And I think the answer is no. I mean, oh, dear God. And so I gotta applaud Blake for sticking with this game, because he told me he finished it. So I cannot believe someone who gives me so much shit for liking Final Fantasy 13 for his, 30-hour tutorial, and yet he replayed a game four times. Of course, then again, this guy does play Destiny, so I guess he likes replaying stuff over and over again. But I mean, if it was action based combat, I could see maybe doing it. But it's turn-based. So boring.
Turn-based.
So boring.
So good. Oh, so good.
No, it's not. Sounds like, so that was a letdown. And so like I talked about it, and one friend said that when she got to that point, she quit, and she didn't realize she had to do it three more times. She's like, I probably would have broken the cart in half if I found out how to do it again. I was like, I know, right? It's just, that's bad narrative. I mean, I understand some padding in games. This is ridiculous. That's awful padding.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can understand maybe one more time, I can't imagine what kind of story they have that makes you have to do it three more. No.
It's Groundhog
This,
Day.
at least Groundhog Day was entertaining.
Well, you know what? You can put this on your stack of at least I beat it once.
Yeah, I think I called it bravely to fuck. Because that's really what I felt like. The fuck? What the hell is this? So, but and then I played some Magicka too with Blake. I'd never played the first Magicka before, so Blake had to start over with me just to kind of teach me how to play. And holy crap, that's a learning curve. That is one
Yeah.
steep learning curve. But once you get it, you do get it. And man, we had so much fun. He got frustrated with me because I just kept. I was, tapping into Vlad the Heartless, and I just everywhere we went, I just killed everybody. Because it was just cracking me up that, you just stab him and they'd be like, oh, that hurts. And then they'd stand there. It's like, you're not gonna make me chase you. I'll just, And I got to this one guy who's like, I just don't think I'll ever find a wife. I'm so alone. It's like, oh, well, I can help with that, and just killed him.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I was like setting everybody on fire because it was just entertaining how they just, that's the only way to get them to run scream, not stabbing them, setting them on fire.
Nope.
So that was, and yeah, that was really a lot of fun. I know we're going to talk about it more because that was our Book of the Month club for June, so or May, June.
June.
I don't even know,
June.
but that was good. A good time. I could see where it'd be even crazier with more people because, I mean, when you get into those narrow areas and we couldn't avoid not hitting each other because the friendly fire mode is definitely on. And
Oh yeah, Ross and I kept crossing the streams and then killing Blake. Because you could combine two of the beams,
yes.
and then Ross would be like, "Don't cross the streams!" And then we just nuke Blake. Yeah,
Man, yeah, just
you know, other than like having to do the whole, because I didn't
well,
have.
we actually were working together and would, talk to each other about rezzing one another and,
Oh
kind of
really?
help each other out. Yeah, we
You
actually
know,
were a team.
you know what I got? Chris, rez me, Chris. Chris, come res me. Chris, res me. Chris, your thing's up. Res me.
I did get that too. But it didn't bother me because otherwise it was just me with all the crabs just chasing me. It's like, oh God, oh God.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure we'll get into more of that with the next podcast, which is we're going to record tomorrow. And then last night I finished the story mode of Lego Jurassic World. I had it, and yeah, I hadn't seen Lost World or Jurassic Park 3, and I have not seen Lego, and I haven't seen Jurassic World. So I would play the game, play through that movie, and then I rented the movie to watch it. And it does spoil a lot, but there's also plenty that is not spoiled. And one thing I can say about it is that it prepared me for who was going to die. So I would know a certain person, because it's not like they really kill them in the game. But suddenly the character's not there anymore.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, so that person's gonna eat it. And we're gonna see Jurassic World this weekend, and now I guess I have it, fully spoiled for me. And if it goes exactly the way the game goes, well, I'm not sure which has the dumber plot, World or Jurassic Park 3. So, but I guess, like Lost World was pretty dumb too. Oh my gosh. The only thing that saved Lost World was the one-liners. And you've just went into Lost World expecting it to be incredibly cheesy, then you weren't disappointed. In Jurassic Park 3, I went in with even lower expectations, and it was better action-wise, but the plot was dumber. Like when you get to the kid, you finally find the kid and you find out that he's been on this island alone for 8 weeks. I'm like, nah, there is no way he has survived in the middle of raptor territory on his own for 8 weeks. Especially he's like 10. No, not buying it. So bad. So very bad. Oh my gosh. But of course, when we were done watching, because Blake. Gabe watched him with me, and we got to the end of the third one. He's like, well, I really liked him, Mom. first one's the better movie. I'm like, well, of course it is.
Oh, that first movie is so good.
Yeah. Well, like, I wasn't, and Lost World was 10 times more violent. It's like, they was like, let's just make, you know, dinosaurs go nuts eating people. And like, when the two T-Rexes grabbed this one guy and split him apart, I just went, oh God, Gabe, don't look. And he's like, oh, that is so cool. So I think he's going to be just fine for Jurassic World. I've been told that Jurassic Park's the scariest. Jurassic World is probably more violent, but Jurassic Park is probably the scariest out of all of them because Jurassic Park taps in more into the Alfred Hitchcock scary.
Yeah.
It's more suspenseful, and, you know, it's not about, you know, it's like Alien versus Aliens. The first Alien is super scary. Aliens is just, let's just kill a bunch of people and make it really gory. So that's kind of how I differentiate them. But, you know, well, you know. So, but it was Jurassic World, you know, it has Chris Pratt. That should be entertaining at the very least. And he goes and rides motorcycle with the raptors. Oh my God, this movie sounds so stupid.
Well, don't go with high expectations.
That's right. I'm just going to go in with, like, let's just watch dinosaurs.
There you go.
When dinosaurs attack, another version of when dinosaurs attack, because apparently we don't learn anything in these movies. And yeah.
There you go. See, you're going in with the right idea.
I think we're so going to go Studio Movie Girls so Sean and I can drink while watching it. Because this morning he even asked me, he's like, so did you finish it last night? I said, yeah. He goes, so is it bad? I'm like, yeah. It really is. I mean, at least, like, I'm going to be trying to make some gifts this week of some of the dinosaur animations that they did, because they're so funny. Because they had fun with it. They took some of the really bad moments in Lost World and Jurassic Park, and they made really funny moments with it. Jurassic World, they just were like, yeah, okay, this, the only funny thing that they did really was when they, at the very end of the movie, and they had the raptors, like, running around the park, and one was, like, picking up all these stuffed teddy bears and running off with them, and other one got on one of the motorcycles and drove off. But that was, like, the kind of only really funny moment that they did in Jurassic World versus in Lost World, when they actually had that horrible gymnastic scene, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They had everybody hold up scorecards, and the raptor held up a six. So, like, little stuff like that. In Jurassic Park, when the raptors are coming into the control room and they're trying to figure out how to get the power back on, and he breathes onto the window, the animation, they have him, like, make a little smiley face.
Oh, Lego games.
Something kind of awesome about, you know, raptor making a little smiley face. Yep. Just kind of makes, when he tries to come in and eat you, just even scarier. Although I'll say the best part about the Lego games, these Lego Jurassic games, though, is like when you're in this really intense situation and you got a T-Rex who's just going to town on the overturned car and the kids are in there screaming, and you're like, I'll be with you in 1 second, but I got to destroy all this stuff to get my true survivor stud count. Those priorities.
Well, shit.
Like, there's no time limit. Like, you know, he'll just sit there and just mash at the car for a while. It's all good.
Kids will be traumatized for the rest of their lives. It'll be fine.
It's all fine. Just need therapy. It's all good. There you go. So, what have you been playing?
I've been playing more Destiny with my brothers. Played Magicka 2 with Blake and Ross. played some MKX.
Getting ready for Predator.
I did. And then my brother was like, we tried doing, I also played the Lego Hobbit. My brother did a share play thing with me, which it was terrible. The share play aspect. Cause we're both running wireless. And I was like, I don't even know. So then we tried, he wanted to see if I could stream to him. So I didn't really have anything, and the best I could come up with was Mortal Kombat. So that way we could both play. So we ended up playing, and I kicked his ass, and then he's like, yeah, I'm done. And I was like, maybe we should try hardwiring our stuff. And they're like, I have to get some Cat 6 cords, because my Cat 5s are pretty old. So I'm going to get some Cat 6 wires and see if I can't get a little bit more oomph to my consoles.
Yeah, I hardwired my PS4 recently, so I'm going to check and see if my remote play is better, because I couldn't, it would never stay connected, and I think it's because of the wireless.
Well, even mine, when I've hardwired it up, I didn't get that much more out of it. So I don't know. I don't. Maybe it's my Cat 5 cables are bad. I don't know. Maybe it's just we have shitty internet, but whatever. So I did that, and then I did a little bit more Sunset Overdrive. But the biggest ones that I played was Halo and Halo 2. I finished Halo. My old roommate and I did that on Saturday. We just plowed right through that, and it was really cool just to keep going. Like there was, I found myself having more fun going, oh, here's a nice vista. What did it look? Oh, it looked really shitty back then. Oh, it looks so nice now.
I
Oh.
told you.
So I did that. And so we beat that. That was, and I forgot how much I hated that last stage and the whole having to drive the fucking Warthog out. And
Oh my God.
I was just like,
So, yeah, so that's like I'm not playing. I'm not replaying the first Halo unless it's with Blake, because he is a master of the Warthog driver, and he and I have this system. Like, there's a Warthog, he drives and I man the guns, and we have a great relationship. Doing that was like when we did a Halo 4 Spartan Ops. So it was like every time the Warthog dropped in, he was just like, "Gary," I'm like, "I'm coming." So we had it great. So with you playing those though, because Blake and I were talking, like, would you play with Blake and I, and maybe even Drew, and we get some four man going on and replaying all four games?
I'd still play them again. I'd play
Okay.
them again. I mean, the library part sucked because it's just so what and
No.
boring. It's just like, oh, another floor with the same looking shit. Oh, great.
Although it is always funny though when you die and you hear Guilty Spark going, "Oh dear."
And then I started up, so we beat that. And then I was like, it was, I think, Sunday. And I said, well, I know that we're going to play this together, but I still want to see what it looks like. So I loaded it up and then I started doing the old new. And the one thing that I noticed is that now you can do old new during cutscenes as well.
Yeah.
And man, what a difference. I was like, oh, you can hear the audio. Oh, the audio sounds terrible. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Nope. Oh, it looks so nice. Oh, it sounds so much better. Oh, it's so much good. So I played like two a stage or so of that and just really, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Xbox One is a user experience is not so much fun. I think that pretty much sucks. Like we had a really rough time trying to figure out how you got party chat going so at least we could chat to each other and then getting games. So it took us a while to get that figured out. It's like, come on, man. PS4, I just go up to a little party chat, invite some people, we're
Isn't
talking, it's good.
it amazing how much it's changed? I mean, it used to be the other way around. Like, the Xbox 360 was my go-to console. I only went to PS3 for exclusives, and now it's the other way around.
Yeah, I just, man. And I'm sure it's just because it's new and I've got to learn the interface. But at the same point,
No, it sucks.
like it didn't take me long to figure out how to do a party chat and just instantly get people in my little chat on PS4. On the Xbox One, I was like, okay, so there's friends and there's this party thing and I invite to part. Okay, so how do I send a game invite? Okay, I don't even. It took us
So,
like 10 minutes to get that all shit
do you
figured
have
out.
the Xbox One with the Kinect or no?
No.
Okay. With the Kinect, it's much easier because then you just use voice commands and you just snap it in place. Because I remember Eric and I, we played Tomb Raider: Temple of Osiris together while we were streaming the video game awards show. So we had that snapped in Twitch. While we had the sound turned off for the game so that he and I were playing the game together, because it's easier and sometimes easier with co-op and watching the video game awards. But if you have all that, you can just do the voice commands to connect to your party, and then you snap Twitch. And so I mean, I ever since they said they're going to take the Kinect out, it's like you're going to have to do a interface overhaul, because I don't know how it works without voice,
Oh,
because
it's a train wreck. It was a mess. Oh, and then that was the other thing. It took me a while to figure out. So once we actually got like grouped up and partied, it automatically snaps the fucking your party onto the screen. I was like, I don't want this. Get this fucking
Yes.
thing off of here. And it was like,
Which,
how the
if you have
hell?
the Kinect, you can do unsnap. You
Yeah,
just
well, there, I didn't know that there was it's a whole snap and unsnap thing, right? I was like, I don't want this. Get this fucking put my game back if I was watching Twitch. I can see where this would be handy for watching Twitch now on the other hand. That'd be great. But I was like, I don't need this. Go away. So it took me 5 minutes to figure out that there was like that whole unsnap pin and what it actually meant. I was like, why? Well, it says unsnap. What the fuck? Oh, that's how you get rid of it. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Let's just bury all this shit in here and just, it's just like, whatever. But we eventually got it all worked out and came a little smoother. And so, yeah, Halo 2. Looking forward to Halo 3 and Halo 4.
Halo 3 is still my favorite. Have you ever played Halo 4?
I don't think so.
Well, that'll be fun. Get the four of us.
Hang on. I can check because the game's right here. Let's see if I've played it. FG, Halo, Halo 3, Halo Reach. So no, I have not played it. So that'll be interesting.
I wonder if we can do ODST with four people or no, but single only.
Is it on... on the Xbox One?
Yeah. It's a, well, you may not have it. Like, day one, people got it for free. Well, because it's our, you know, ambassador, you know, thanks for being a sucker gift. Sticking with us at day one with all the shit, so.
So.
Because I think that'd be the only way I'd play ODST again is with other people, because, there were so many, at least with ODST, you could almost kind of do what you wanted. Like, if you didn't want to fight anybody, you could figure out a way to get through certain areas without fighting. There's some areas you had to fight. Mm. But man, I was like, as soon as I'd go up a ridge and I saw hunters coming, like, nope. I'm not fighting you guys as a lowly human. Spartan, yes. Human, no. I'm going to go find another way to get around you. That ain't happening.
Yeah, good times. All right.
Yeah, we've been talking long enough.
It's lunchtime. I need food. Take us home.
That is true. It is lunchtime. We're done with, besides my coffee's empty. All right, so you can leave us a comment on this post if there's anything you would like us to specifically talk about, or you could email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com with any questions you may have. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin. I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And we ask that you keep on reading SGR. We have our very first video strategy review, thanks to Chris hurting his finger. And I should be getting a Batman Arkham Knight very soon. I'm going to be giving it to our wonderful writer, Brad, and that I'll get Lego Jurassic World as soon as possible. Now that I finished the story, it's all about the free play and getting all the collectibles.
Yay, collectibles.
Oh, there's so many this time. So many collectibles, yep. I don't know if more than usual, but like it's definitely not as big as like Lego Marvel Superheroes or Lego Batman 3, but there's still like there's a substantial amount of collectibles. It's kind of crazy. And that's what I need the guide for, because I don't have patience for that shit. And with that, we will see you guys next time. Our next episode will be the June Book of the Month Club for Magicka 2.
Hooray. And with that, we're out. Peace.